Book of Luke, chapter 1. We read verses 26 to verse 38, very familiar passage of Scripture, one having to do with the announcement of the incarnation. In reading with verse 26, and in the sixth month, would be the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What we have here is the record of the announcement of a marvelous, miraculous event, the incarnation of Christ. This, of course, is Luke's account of how it was announced to Mary. And we want to center our thought for the message upon Mary's response. How shall this be seen? How shall this be seen? And the angel's answer, verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. But it's Mary's response that we want to focus upon. Two words. She says, how? How? The Greek word is posē, meaning in what way or manner can this be? By what means will this be? And the word seen, how seen. Seen is the Greek word epi, and it means Since, conveying the idea of, in view of the fact, and that, of course, would follow, or because. So it is how, since. In other words, how can this be, since such and such is true. And in the angel's answer, he directs her attention to the Lord. So that's our subject, seeing God in the how and sense. The Lord gave me this message, I think, last Monday. I was struggling with how and sense. And I just happened to read this passage, and those two words jumped out. How and sense. And the Lord directs our attention to Him. So seeing God in the how and the sense. First of all, consider the event before us. In the account, the angel Gabriel, who announced the event, was sent to the obscure little town of Nazareth. He appears to, verse 27, to a virgin, a spouse, engaged, promised to a man whose name was Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. From verse 28, the angel Gabriel immediately gets her attention. Hail. It's a word that is twofold. It is an imperative calling attention. It's just like saying, attention. And it is also a salutation, meaning peace or joy be with thee. In other words, if someone came into your presence and they said, hail, they may, as a form of a salutation, they are saying, I come in peace. I come in peace. And that's what the angel is assuring her of. Here the angel calls her attention and assures her that he has a message. And it is a message of peace, and it is a message of joy. So Mary's attention is upon this heavenly messenger, this angel, Gabriel. Verse 28, she receives word that she is favored of God. Hail, thou art highly favored, or you are an object of His grace. Then she was promised that God was with her. He went on to say, the Lord is with thee. In the context, the Lord is with thee in favor. And then she is told that she is greatly blessed. Blessed art thou among women. So with these words, the angel Gabriel directs her attention to three specific God matters relating directly to her. There is the grace of God, there is the presence of God, and there are the blessings of God. She is assured of these three things. He tells her these three things to lay the foundation for what he is about to tell her. He says these things to assure her and to give her security. He is preparing her heart for what he's about to say. We see in verse 29, she was troubled. That is, she was greatly alarmed. In verse 30, the angel told her to fear not. So obviously she was fearful as well. It is fear not Mary. Notice there in verse 30. Fear not Mary, for, introducing the reason not to fear, thou hast found favor with God. So that's twice now that he has told her that she has found favor with God. It is twice that he has told her or assured her of God's grace, that she is an object of God's grace. So twice he has given her this assurance. You are an object of God's grace. This is foundational to assurance. And this is followed in verse 31. And behold, again, another call to attention. Behold, wants to make sure that she's paying attention. Behold. And then comes an announcement of something unheard of. Something phenomenal. Thou shalt has a virgin. We've added those words, but that's the idea here. Thou shalt has a virgin conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. That is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7 verse 14. Where we read, behold, a virgin shall conceive. She shall conceive as a virgin. That's unheard of. The angel Gabriel then proceeds to inform Mary in verses 32 and 33 of the glories of this one who would be born of her. The glories of Jesus. And you can read verses 32 and 33. He is telling her that the child which she would conceive as a virgin, he'll be God's son. He'll be God's son. And he'll be the king of Israel. So what he's telling her is that she was going to give birth to the promised Messiah, the Christ child. So what he's saying is, Mary, you are the object of God's presence, God's grace, God's blessings, and you will be the recipient of something beyond the power, the ability, the know-how of man. In verse 34, Mary, no doubt greatly astonished, asks, how? How? Those are the first words out of her mouth. How? In what way or manner or means shall this be? How? And then she presented what she perceived as a major obstacle, an utter impossibility. Seeing, how can this be seen or since I know not a man? I have not a husband. I am a virgin. I believe that statement comes more from curiosity than unbelief in this case. I can't prove it, but it's just what I feel. The angel Gabriel answers, verse 35, by directing her attention to the Lord. He says to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And notice those words. He says, the Holy Ghost shall. It's not Mary, you shall. It's the Holy Ghost shall. The power of the highest shall. So the how shall be accomplished by the Holy Ghost. The how shall be accomplished by the power of the highest. In verse 37, still in answer to her question, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man, there are these further words of assurance. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So what the angel Gabriel is saying to Mary in response to how, since I know not a man, he is saying to her, Mary, look past your circumstances. Look past your own thinking and the thinking of everyone else as far as that goes. A virgin doesn't have a child. Look past your understanding and look to God. The Holy Ghost shall. The power of the highest shall. The angel is saying, Mary, you ask how, and the answer is God. That's always so. He is saying, Mary, you bring up since, and the answer is God. Now, this question is something that we are very prone to. We must beware of the danger of it. Again, I'm not so sure. I believe the question was probably asked in this case more out of curiosity than unbelief. But we need to beware of the dangers. So this message comes to Mary from heaven. And Mary's initial response is, how? Ever done that? Oh, I have. How? And then she carries it a little further. Seeing, there's this obstacle. I know not a man. And how often, when God speaks to us and promises us something, this is our response. How? How shall this be? Since, and then of course, there are the perceived obstacles. How shall this be since? That question can come out of blatant unbelief. Sometimes the question is out of curiosity. Many times it's out of both. Unbelief and curiosity. But know this when it comes to God. Curiosity can very easily cross over in unbelief. You say, well, how can this be, God? And you're just curious. You stay there long enough, it'll be unbelief. Crosses over very easily. Our hearts are often flooded with how and since. In Exodus 6, verses 29 and 30, Moses is instructed, speak thou unto Pharaoh. In verse 30, he says, I am of uncircumcised lips. This would be his sense. It was the obstacle in his mind. And then he says, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Moses was focused on his inability rather than God. We can do that. And then what we like to do is put that under the column of humility. Oh, is that what it really is? Or is it just unbelief? How? There's a danger. I believe we need to be very aware of our inability. But there's a danger that we become so focused upon our inability that we get stuck in how. Or since. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Samuel is instructed by God to go to King Saul's arch enemy, David. And he is to anoint David king in the place of Saul. And Saul and Samuel's initial response is in 1 Samuel 16, 2, how can I go? If Saul hear me, he will kill me. Lord, how can this be? You're telling me to do this, but how can it be? Samuel was focused upon Saul rather than God. And he made a supposition, Saul will kill me. He didn't know that as a fact. That was a supposition. And he became stuck in a supposition rather than God. That's a real danger in all of our lives. It is a danger that we become so focused upon the enemy and the suppositions, and we're good at it, making suppositions, that we become stuck in how. How will cripple you? Well, Lord, how? You're telling me to do this, but how? 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 And you get stuck. Often we become aware of a need. Could be a failure. Could be a problem. And this is our response. How? Since. There is a danger that we become so focused upon the need, the failure, the problem, that we get stuck in how or since. Oftentimes we feel duty. And this is our response. How? And then we sense and we begin to list the obstacles and all the reasons we can't and all the reasons it won't work. In Psalm 137 and 4, we hear Israel in extremely adverse circumstances saying, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Israel was focused upon and overcome with their circumstances. That happens to all of us. It's very easy to do. And that's why it's so important to take, and I'm preaching to myself, take a step at a time and not look at everything at once because it's overwhelming. There is a danger that we become so wrapped up in our circumstances that we get stuck in how or since. Often in the face of obstacles and impossibilities, this is our response. But how? Or since? God says He'll supply your needs, and our response many times is, well, how? How's He going to do that? Mary at first is focused upon this obstacle. I know not a man. She's focused upon an apparent impossibility. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And there is a danger that we become so focused upon obstacles and apparent impossibilities, and we become stuck in how or since. Often when we're presented with a spiritual need, this is our response. John chapter 3, Nicodemus, presented with his need of the new birth, something that was beyond his power, beyond the ability of man, beyond the intellect of man. And Nicodemus' first response is, how can a man be born when he's old? How? And in John 3, verse 9, he says, how can these things be? Jesus is saying, you must be born again. And his response, how can these things be? Again, whether it is said out of unbelief or curiosity or both, there is a failure to fully grasp and apply the difference between flesh and spirit. There is a difference. To apply the difference between man and God, between man's power, man's ability, and God's power and God's ability. Two different universes. We fail to discern the difference between the know-how of man and the know-how of God. The difference between the thoughts of man and the thoughts of God. The difference between the resources of man and the resources of God. And it is a failure to grasp and apply these truths that lead to so much uneasiness. There's a lot of uneasiness because people never get past how. I know you said it, God, but how's it going to happen? And I've even heard people say, oh, I'm not doing anything until I know how. That's not faith. It causes much restlessness. I know I've asked this question over and over. How, Lord? Seeing. And I can list one scenario after another. Causes great fretfulness. You can get pretty agitated also. Fills the mind with confusion. Satan's an expert at that. Causes much fear and distress in the lives of God's people. There is a great proneness and danger that we get stuck in and crippled by how, since. So what our need is to focus upon and to grasp and to apply who God is. It's easy to apply who God is to someone else, but that won't do you any good. We have to apply who God is to ourselves. And in answer to Mary's, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man, whether it's out of unbelief or mere curiosity, Gabriel said in verse 35, the Holy Ghost. That's his first, the first words out of his mouth, the Holy Ghost. That's God. Shall. The power of the highest shall. So what was Gabriel's answer to Mary's, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? His answer is, God shall. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know anything else. God shall. Mary asked, how shall this be? Heaven answered, the Holy Ghost, the power of the highest. Mary raised this point, seeing that I know not a man. She presents the problem. Heaven's answer to the problem, the Holy Ghost, the power of the highest. That's heaven's answer. The Holy Ghost shall. The power of the highest shall. Speaking of something that God would do. What he is saying to Mary is, Mary, you don't worry about it. God will do. The Holy Ghost shall. The power of the highest shall. So the answer to Mary's question, how, since I know not a man, was the work of God. The Holy Ghost shall, the power of the highest shall. The work of God. That's the answer. How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. Heaven's answer is, God will. The Holy Ghost shall, the power of the highest shall. That's just another way of saying, Mary, God will. That's all you need to know, Mary. You don't need to know anything else. God will. And notice what he says. God shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. So he tells her God will, and now he tells her two things that God will do. He will come, and he will overshadow. And both times the word thee is added. So both things that God would do were in relation to Mary. How much assurance you need? Well, we preached, I don't know if you remember, but it's probably been 6 months. Gideon's fleece. You get all these people that, well, I put out the fleece. That's nonsense. You don't need to do that. All you need to do is know God shall. God will. That's all we need. God shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. He is telling her, Mary, God will do something in the behalf of you. He's going to come to you. He's going to overshadow you. Again, Mary's question to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Gabriel's answer, God. God. How? Since heaven's answer, God. Again, the angel Gabriel is directing her focus from how and since to God. And to God will. And just as it was with Mary, We often need our focus shifted from how and since to God. And God will. And just as Mary must let go of how and since, so must we. So it is with us, regardless of situation, regardless of circumstance, regardless of condition, regardless of the obstacle, regardless of the difficulty. We are to grasp, not how, we are to grasp God. God. We ask how, and we want God to give us a detailed answer. And many times all He says is, I will. I will. Regardless of the how and since, and we can come up with a lot of senses. We can come up with a long list. Everything God tells us to do, I can come up with a list of all the reasons it won't work. All the reasons it doesn't make sense. And the angel comes back every time. The message, the answer comes back every time. God. God. God is who He is. He's the Almighty God. God and power are inseparable. And God has all power. Regardless of the how and since, whatever your place or circumstances or needs or trials or difficulties or problems, God is. And God is almighty. And God is able. And God knows. And He knows how. And He knows how. He possesses a distinct and certain and perfect knowledge of all things. Again, people like to make their pro and con list. I contend, how do you even know what pro and con is since you don't know what's going to happen 2 seconds from now? There's no way you can know what is pro and con. God is universally and perpetually wise, and He knows how. He is faithful. He is unchanging. He is present. He is near. And we must not get stuck in how and since. We can't get stuck there. Whether it be Sharon and I or whether it be Home Baptist Church, we can't get stuck there. God has a promise for us, Sharon and I. God has a promise for you as a church. Don't get stuck in how. And you can come up with a long list of obstacles. Don't get stuck there. The answer is God. He excels all. We need to know, we need to feel the overwhelming fact of God. You think about your needs. You think about your needs throughout your life. And have there not many times been needs with no sight of provision in sight? But God fulfilled them. How many times there are burdens which can weigh us down? And there are trials and there are difficulties that appear to be unending. And there are battles and there are struggles that appear to be unwinnable. And there are foes that appear unstoppable. And there are obstacles and there are challenges that appear to be insurmountable. And there are problems. There appears to be no answer, no solution for. And sometimes we come to rivers that are impassable. It's not humanly possible to get across that river. Well, we've crossed many of those rivers. And it's been by God. How many times there's enemy fortifications that cannot be broken through? But they have been. And there are wildernesses that there appears to be no way out. No way out of this. And there are valleys that appear to be endless. And there are hurts, and there are wounds, and there are sorrows and heartaches. And sometimes there's no remedy in sight. There's that which is broken, there's that which is torn. No sight of mending, no sight of repair. There's waste and there's ruin with no sign of restoration. There are storms. There appears to be no break in the clouds whatsoever. There's weariness. There doesn't seem to be any relief in sight. There are problems and weights that there doesn't seem to be any release in sight as well. And we, like Mary, look at these things and we ask, how? How shall this be? And then we add since, and we begin to add all the obstacles and impossibilities. We can't get stuck there. That's a bad place to get stuck. But rather, we need to hear and we need to grasp heaven's answer, God. When heaven's answer comes, God shall grab hold, grab on to that. Hear and grasp heaven's answer. The how shall be accomplished by God. And the since shall be overcome by God. God is the answer. God is the answer. That's true. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what the question is. God's the answer. And many times that's all God tells us. I will. I will. You don't need to know anything else. I will. And then in closing, notice verse 38. We see Mary's faith in the promise of God. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. According to thy word. What's she trusting in? She's trusting in heaven's answer. The Holy Ghost shall, the power of the highest shall, be it unto me according to thy word. Did she understand it? Most certainly not. But she believed it. Be it according to me, according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and then we know the rest of the story. Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. But how often is that our first response? How? How, Lord? How are we going to do this? How am I going to do this? And God's answer most of the time, God will sometimes give you very specific instructions. I want you to do this, 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 this. No doubt about that. But sometimes God just simply says, I will, and you need to trust me. And that's what we all need to do. all the time. Trust the Lord. It's really a wonderful way to live life, to trust God. It's not a curse. It's not a curse to be put in a place where you have to trust God. You have nothing else. That's a good thing. And it's a good life to live trusting God. It's a life that sees many miracles. And as you see those miracles, that strengthens that trust. Again, pray, pray, pray. Pray for each other. Satan is going to look for every opportunity to fracture you. You need to just keep looking to God. Keep trusting Him. Keep following His will. You will not go wrong. You cannot go wrong doing that. And then Sharon and I, we need to do the same thing. So you pray for us, we pray for you, and we just need to pray for one another. God will do miraculous things. Miraculous things here at Home Baptist Church. And God would just come down in a mighty way. That's our prayer. That's our prayer for you. That's my prayer for all the Lord's churches. That God would just come down a mighty way. That God would come down a mighty way in our individual lives. So let's look to God. Let's hold on to God. You don't have anything else to hold on to. We don't. We need to cling to God. Encourage one another to do that. Brother Larry, if you'd come.